Hi, Brock.
Dane, are you safe? Where are you?
Yeah, we're fine. We're in the bathroom.
Date's over. I'm coming to get you.
You heard.
Brock, this
place
is crawling with guys hand or anything.
It feels too good. It feels like somebody with a fever is yelling at my pants. This wall.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
I can do a little better, can I?
You.
Hi.
You
is that better with a voice cracking?
Sure.
How about? Hi, I'm just gonna keep all these in. This is all good stuff.
This is every week we just keep doing this, and then we just pick the 16th best one.
The funny thing is, you listen to After the Hype. My intros are way better, but here they're very rusty-esque. You know, that's what I'm going for. Just slight failure on all of them.
Who's this rusty character you keep talking about?
Yeah, Rusty.
Is that from a show?
Yeah, it's a somewhat popular show. Not as popular as it deserves to be, let's be honest, but, you know. Anyhow, hi, welcome to Venture Bros, Venture Brothers Podcast. With me, as always, host as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Grand T. Mason.
Hello.
Nickname was, T was like the drink tea.
Ah, I see what you did. Thank you. I like tea.
Yeah.
From time to time.
I think we've done this once before. I enjoyed it then, and I figured why not bring it back. And then Richard, I just met him today, Lee.
Hi.
Nick, unfortunately, had to leave the Great White North to move south of the wall into America. So he is back in Los Angeles.
Are you guys Canadian?
No.
We are not.
We are all in L.A., but Nick had moved to Canada to work in video games.
Oh,
Assassin's Creed, go buy it. And that job is done, and he has moved back to L.A., but because of that moving, he was unable to be here today. So Richard has been very kind to join us and sit in his place.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Now, Richard was one of the first people to reach out to me when the show started. Like, hey, if you ever need somebody, I would love this show and I want to talk about it. So I've been just like, sooner or later I'll have a spot for him. I know I will.
I've just been frantically waiting on edge to, like, talk about the show at all times.
I mean, that's honestly what that's why I started this show. Because I heard, like I think I just started going through, like, a backlog. And just like, wait, you know what? I just want to bitch about this show constantly. Like, I need to get this out of my system.
Yeah.
But before we get too far into it, what brought you to Venture Brothers? What's your favorite episode? I think those are the two questions I ask new people.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you first encounter it? What's your favorite episode?
I first encountered Venture Brothers when I was in, like, middle school or something. Like, I was just, like, kind of angsty teen, and I was like, what is this swine? I actually saw it on an airplane, I think. It was the episode with the summer camp.
With, like,
the buddy system, season three.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And I was just not having it. And it was, like, on repeat for, like, the five-hour flight.
Oh, that sounds
like a perfect flight to me. That's, like, my favorite episode.
And then I came back to it years later. I was like, this show's amazing. And actually, it inspired me to go to animation school. And I would just have it on repeat while I was filling out my immigration documents to go to Canadian animation school. And then at animation school, I gave, like, a five-minute report on it where I just, like, spewed Venture Brothers knowledge. And I made, like, crudely Photoshop pictures of me as, like, Rose from Titanic with Jackson Public as Jack, like, holding my torso. Yeah.
So you're a fan, is what you're saying.
I have a cursory, you know, enjoyment of the show.
Okay. You've seen it before, yeah. Okay.
You've seen more than just the buddy system from season three.
Yeah.
Now, do you like that episode now, like in retrospect?
Oh, I love it now. I think once you get some context, it's
true.
All great.
I'd say out of context, that one might be a rough watch of, like, is this Johnny Quest? Like, what's happening?
What's with the weird fetus clone baby?
He'll be fine. He just played with some acid. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I'm so excited to get to season three specifically for that episode.
And in HD.
Yeah, let's not forget. We hired new animators. Or just bought them better computers. But before we get there, we still have to get through all of season two. And that leads us to where we are today, which is, as we mentioned him many times before, and he's been on two episodes, our note-taker Brock. This is his favorite episode. of the entire season. Victor Echo November. I really like this episode. I am excited to talk about it. I think it has some of the best quotes out of the entire season. I think it has some of the best dialogue writing out of the entire season. But before we get way too far into it, Richard, I'm going to throw it your way since you've never been on before, so it's clearly your turn to say everything that happens in this episode. Very, very quick. Just a brief summary so we can kind of jump around, and in case somebody has missed this episode,
okay, so
they'll be able to follow along.
Hank and Dean go on a double date with Triana and her, like, scene friend who wears, like, goggles. And, Rusty gets him out of the house because he wants to watch a show starring Dolly Parton called The Best Whorehouse in the Northwest or something. I forgot the name. I'm bad with names, I'm sorry. And then, Phantom Lim has, like, the entire Venture family, like, hunted down because Monarch is going on a... He's doing, like, a double date with Phantom Lim and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. And then you just see, like, Brock naked, covered in blood with a knife for, like, 15 minutes, which is... Honestly, yeah, like, my favorite thing.
It's so good.
Why are you naked? To feed on their fear. Okay? This is different, huh?
Oh, it's so good. What else did we miss in there? Oh, basically, the Phantom Lim calls out a death... Puts out, like, a death call or, like, blackout on the Venture family, right?
Yeah.
Did I have that right? Blackout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? I should have written it down. yeah, because it was that, and then the bathroom scene, and then, yeah, that's pretty much everything, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into all the, well, some of the details.
We'll do as much as we can in the time that we allowed ourselves.
The powder blue stanza, there's that too.
Yeah.
What do you drive? His powder blue stanza.
That will eventually kill him. Spoilers. The thing I actually want to start with this thing, which is probably not where people are going to expect us to start, but I just want to get it done and out of the way. What are you guys' feelings on Kim?
I like her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We've discussed this before, and... I can't remember what they do, actually really don't do with her, but yeah, I think they could have done...
This is the last time she's seen.
Yeah. Okay. I thought there was one more where she comes back.
No, she was in Assassin Annie, and then she's in this,
right.
And then they mentioned her in an episode, but she's gone.
I think it's difficult for this show because... they really don't have many missed opportunities because they really do a very good job of exploiting and, you know, going through their whole universe. But I definitely think this is a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that would be, I think, the general consensus of most Venture Brothers fans. Like, a lot of people, like, you go to any con and, like, anyone who hasn't, you know, paid attention, if they're just going through it, they usually want to ask, like, if they get their chance to go up to the microphone, like, hey, what can you ask anything? They go, when is Kim coming back? And it's been, like, what, 10 years at this point? Like, she's not. Like, they came up with kind of a cool idea. They thought maybe it'd be fun to have the Venture Brothers have their own arch nemesis, and then they changed their minds.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a bummer. Like, I liked Kim. Maybe I'm more on their side, because I didn't really love Kim. I thought she was a cool idea that they just kind of half-baked, and then they decided they didn't want to fully bake it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been watching British Bake Off a lot.
Oh, it's a great show. Oh,
it is.
Cardamom is such a great spice that is severely underrated.
And we're off the rails.
I will agree with you. I think Kim was, like, a really good idea, but I don't think they could have matched the viewer expectation with Kim, which is probably why they didn't follow through. Like, I don't think she would have been as great of an arch-villain in reality that, like, people could imagine her doing. Because she's just, a normal girl with goggles.
And after a certain point, like, it's just, like, the fan expectation was going to be so high. It's just, like, why even bother? Like, you just, you know you're going to piss off half the fan base who are expecting this one thing. And, like, there's just no way to do it.
Yeah.
I think that everyone got too excited for
it. Yeah, I mean, I was even kind of thinking of, like, maybe she would... when Dr. misses the girlfriend, or Queen Etheria, when she, you know, goes and does her own thing, maybe Kim would go with her as kind of like a sidekick for a second, but then you had the murderous Muppets, and so it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think it would have been really cool, but I agree that it might not have been as high as expectations could have been, so it's like, it might have been just, okay, well, we could do something, we could not, we just mention her, but it's like, but to drop her entirely as a character is kind of odd. I think,
especially for a show like Triana,
Triana doesn't have a best friend then at that point.
No, Triana really has nothing, and I think that it takes them a long time to figure out. Like, there's really nothing we could do with Triana either. Yeah. But like, there was just a little bit more because Dean was in love with her. So this one, like, it's, I think they made the right call ultimately of not doing anything else with her. It's kind of a bummer, but I think end of the day that was probably the right decision.
I'm sure she'll come back as like the leading protagonist of like a Digimon series or something.
Yeah. Hey, I like Digimon too. That should be my next podcast, the Digimon podcast. I'm sure there's already a billion out there.
After the Beetleborgs podcast.
After the Beetleborgs podcast, of course. But I think that's about all you can really say on Kim, though. Like, it's just kind of,
everyone agreed said about Kim.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everyone agreed she's a really cool design, and they would have liked to see more, than we didn't. Yep. And, okay, I guess that's it then.
Just like Dr. Girlfriend was like, I like your look.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep, that's it. Well, let's move on to the meat of this episode, which is the double date. Like, I feel like we should have saved it for later, but at the same time, like, that's why you watch this episode, is for just everything in the restaurant. Like, because everything outside of the restaurant is interesting enough. Like, we'll talk a little bit about it specifically, just because you can't leave Rusty alone. But there's something just about, I think the writing in this episode is just so tight. Like, it feels like almost every line is a joke, and they all play well. Like, if you rewatch this one over and over, everything plays so well, and it really, for me, doesn't kick off that brilliance until Brock has the boys in the car on the way to the date. And pretty much from there on out, the entire episode's just off to the races.
Yeah, it's really just a ratcheting up until that moment.
Yeah, and, like, there's funny things. Like, I love Bat Hank. We'll talk about him more next week. I like that they got that in 2 weeks in a row. Like, way to go, Venture Brothers. But, like, for me, everything before that just kind of felt like standard Venture Brothers. And then as soon as they got in the car, it's like, oh, this is them, like, batting 1,000. Like, this is when they, like, they hit everything of, it's crazy, it's supervillains on a double date in a regular, like, normal, like, diner. And the writing is it's just so, so good. But I'll let one of you talk a little bit more before I just keep rambling.
This isn't one of my favorite episodes, I think, because it hits too close to home with, like, how I was a very dorky kid in high school, and, like, I was definitely, like, on the Dink and Hane spectrum of, like, not doing well with women. And so I just get, like, traumatic flashbacks of, like, oh, what were you doing?
Did you have a wallet with a cartoon bee on it?
I still have a Velcro wallet. It's made out of hemp, though, so...
Oh, there you go. That's, yeah, much different.
The only one who's even competent in this entire episode is Brock. And the way he does it is by going full bananas crazy. Like,
yep. Which, like, is what he's good at. I mean, that's his thing. And I think we've talked about it before. It's like, this show is pretty much entirely about failure. And failing, not even really with grace. Kind of just failing into failure and then just kind of, well, this is just our new normal. Yeah. I think consistently Brock is really the only one who, like, is able to get some sort of success. And I mean, we don't really get into why he's really there and Orb and all that stuff until next season. But so I think this is definitely one of those moments. And it's kind of weird. It's like, I love the Monarch and Phantom Limb interaction, like them just, you know, pinging back and forth and just ratcheting it up and just challenging each other. It's such a great, so stupid, just boys trying to impress girls type of thing. It's just hilarious.
Oh yeah. And it's the other thing we've talked a lot about in season two, which I wasn't paying attention to very much until this specific rewatch. Of this is another episode of pairing people up, and it's done differently mm-hmm. than they've done in other episodes. But this is the first real pairing of the Monarch and Phantom Lynn. And it's not pairing the way that we've done the other episodes where, like, these guys should be enemies, but look at them be friends. And this one's, these guys are should be enemies, look at them be enemies. And it's kind of a welcome change of pace that we've gotten from, like, the rest of the season of, like, Brock and Phantom Lynn should hate each other, but look at how well they work together. And this one kind of does the exact opposite of that while still kind of sticking to that theme of take these two people who really haven't shared a lot of on-screen time together and force them into, this one, force them into a small booth together, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish the Monarch's date had been in it more. Like, I know that's a weird ask, but...
I agree. Jolly Rancher 82 or whatever.
Yeah, like...
You know that's not my real name. What? I used my real name.
I thought you were into cosplay. I like how they bring up live journals.
Costume business.
You know, that's another thing that I'll point out, just why I think I love this episode as much as I do. This is one of the first, I mean, I'm sure there's a few nods to it before that, but this is one of the first that I can really remember really calling attention to the fact that the whole world is not like this. Like, the world building that they've done such a great job of, like, the arch nemesis, the antagonist and protagonist, I'll even use their terminology, like, all that stuff isn't for everyone. Like, there's just some people who are into it. And this one, this poor woman who's just looking for online dating, just happened to dip her toe in the wrong pool.
I met her on LiveJournal. I've been blogging!
But, like, I can't even imagine, like, all right, well, I guess I'm meeting up with this guy who's into cosplay. I don't know. I just want to go on a date. And, oh, God, he's wearing it now. And here comes a torso walking at me. What the fuck is going on?
Like, yeah. No, I think this is really cool because it's like they've kind of mentioned it before, or kind of like half mentioned it of like, oh, this also lives in a real world. But this is one of those moments where it really like, even the henchmen too bring it up. They're talking about like sitting in the restaurant and like one of them gets up to go to the restroom. He's like, dude, I'm not just going to sit here alone. I'm dressed like a butterfly. It's like, we were two guys. You're like, yeah, but it looked like I was in a band or something. It's like, yeah, you never... We get so ingrained in their universe that you think, oh, this is just their normal. But then now when you apply it to what if, you know, or this is actually in the real world, it just adds a new form of polarity to it. That's wonderful.
It's that fish out of water almost thing where like these guys are never that. And like this is like forcing them into a situation where they kind of are. And the funny thing is that, like, as dorky and crazy as it is, it's also kind of relatable. Like, if you've, like, we've all been to college, like, we've all been to, like, an art school. Like, when you're in that art school, when you go talk to anyone who's not in that art school, you have that total, like, oh, your whole life doesn't revolve around this one thing? Shit, what do you mean? The weather? Like, no, I've been talking movies for the past 6 months straight. Like, that's been my entire life. And now I'm supposed to talk to you about politics? Like, I don't know how the world works. And, like, that's what these guys are going through. Their whole life is costume villainy. And then they have to go to a diner and order a burger with steak fries that are always sucky. Like, it's just like...
always soggy.
I love,
it's
like...
so true. They are.
It's so true. Soggy. Fuck steak fries.
You want them to be good. It's like, oh, it's just a regular fry, but bigger. That should be better, but it's not. And it never is.
No.
And it's just the genius of the show. They've recognized that, you know?
Finally putting steak fries on blast.
I think what I like about the Venture Brothers is it rewards my very particular interests that are, like, super niche. Where, like, pop culture references, even in the newer seasons, like, I didn't think anyone else watched that movie, but these guys just made a joke out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a bunch of ones that I don't get. Like, I've never seen The Best Little Horror House in Texas, but I get, like, you get it. And you get enough information from their reference of it to know the joke. But, obviously, if you know more about it, then you are more in on it.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, I think one of the first... In first season, like, how many references to David Bowie there were just was, like, incredible.
It's oh,
like,
yeah.
When I first watched it, I didn't know many, if any, of them. And then now going back and rewatching it, I'm like, oh my god, it's the first half of the episode.
Yeah.
It's just David Bowie references and quotes and lyrics and everything. It was incredible. I think that was Ghost of Saragossa.
Yeah, yeah. The one person we really haven't talked much about in this one, and I feel like we have to at least a little bit, is Rusty. Like, most of the episodes, Rusty is, I'd say, even for a show called The Venture Brothers, it's usually Rusty's show. Like, more often than not. Like, even season 7, like the one that we're currently in, not this past week's episode, this means nothing because this episode's going to come out way later than this, but the one that I watched before last week, I don't want to say anything because Graham's not there yet, but the boys weren't even in it. Like, it was just all about Rusty. And that happens, I think, more and more as the show goes on. Sometimes Rusty won't be in an episode, sometimes that. They kind of, like, more focus on stuff. But this one felt to me like one of the more, like, for the early seasons, one of the most Rusty light episodes.
Yeah.
Like, they really just kind of, like, write him out of it. And it doesn't feel like it's, like, a problem with at all. It felt like one of the few times they're like, we're just going to let everyone else kind of have the spotlight on this one. And Rusty's just going to be kind of over here watching his not porno and getting his arm lopped off. Like,
oh my god, like, I forgot about that.
But that's even when he's off screen for the majority of the episode, they still give him one of the funniest things of just his arm got cut off, and the way he deals with it is by using a fucking Christmas tree stand.
The only thing that's keeping me alive is our lack of storage. He's holding he has a wreath around his body to hold his arm up.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And I love, it's a, not to like go away from it too quickly, but I love how the reference to him and Billy Quizboy at the very end, and you're like, oh man, he's getting his arm put back on. You're like, oh wait, no, that's a robot arm. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. And Billy Quizboy's, you know, tapping it. His own hand.
Yeah.
And then finally we come back and see that he's talking about it. That, for me, not to, if there was more that you wanted to talk about,
no, that's fine.
But all of those references to Billy Quizboy and Phantom Limb and that whole situation and everybody's nuanced story of what they think actually happened is honestly my favorite part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Because everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own version. Even Hank, and his is ridiculous. But then, finally, to come back at the end of the episode and have Billy Quizboy be like, hey, so what? How did you get that robot arm? He's like, that's a really good question. I have no idea. Which they answer later on, but I love it. And I love everybody's stories, and I love everybody's flashbacks to it.
It's one of those things where, like, that's an excellent question. I have no idea. It's another one of those Venture Brothers lines that has creeped its way into my own vocabulary. And I used to use that, like, I used to be a post coordinator for daytime talk show TV. I can't, still, for some stupid reason, can't say what the show was. Thanks a lot, contracts. But whenever somebody would ask me a question I don't know, that's how I'd reply. That's an excellent question. I have no idea. And it's, I really like that. Like, I almost kind of wish I didn't know what really happened. Like, I always kind of like the mystery of it. And the episode where you find out is actually a really good episode.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it's like one of the more dramatic episodes, but it tells a really fun story. But nothing will ever compare to, you know, the moon having phantom limbs limbs. Like, it's just, that's such a better story. And the thing is, Hank's been to the moon. Or he's been near the moon, at least. Like, he knows how things work. He's so stupid.
Do you think it's a cry for help?
Seriously, where do you pick this stuff up?
I think he just channels dead crazy people. I know you don't read.
Oh, it's so good. The other stuff I kind of want to talk about a little bit before we get out of here is there's two things I got to hit, and it's the boys a little bit more because there's some stuff that I forgot to talk about. And then it's the guild. Like, this was, we talked about it a lot at the end of season 1, during the Trial of the Monarch because it was just awesome. Because you never saw the guild be scary. And I think we mentioned a lot in that episode, this is the only time we see them be scary, and we were wrong. Like, we were definitely wrong, because I forgot this episode, the guild is still on point. Like, when they show up, like, even Brock's like, oh, fuck, the guild's here. Like, it's a... That's why he strips down, covers himself in blood, and just goes and fucking...
and is carrying one like, of their skulls just had around. To go...
yeah. But, like, that is his legitimate response to the guild showing up. I need to go as far crazy as I can, because that's how dangerous they are. And I'd totally forgotten about it. And I still like seeing scary guild. And, like, they're definitely not a thing anymore.
No. I mean, especially once they go against OSI. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the first where we're still trying to figure out... Where we're still trying to figure out what they are, and then... Any mention of them, or you know, anytime they actually infiltrate the base or anything, you're like, "Oh, holy shit, this is insane."
Yeah, this is different.
yeah, this is different, isn't it?
Yeah. but the best thing about all of that, and I don't want to steal anyone's pop culture reference because it might be, but whatever, we can come back to that. Brock stabbing that henchman in the back. It's just. Oh my god, I won't say the song or ruin anything for anyone, but my god, like that, I've seen this episode more times than I can count, and that scene still makes me laugh. Like, it's just, oh, I think you hit my kidney. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Oh, you definitely did.
I mean, you might, like, bleed out in, like, 4 hours, but I think you'll be okay. I see the light.
Yeah, that poor henchman. And he got it. Like, I love that Brock still sang the song. Like, Brock, like, such a good sport.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
Baby, won't you? He's just so upset about it.
Just because he's so a murderer good. And this is his job doesn't mean he doesn't have a heart, you know?
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about really quickly is we got to talk about the boys in the bathroom. Like, that sounds like a really weird thing to say, but it it's is like very important because...
It's like someone who has a fever is yelling at my crotch.
Yelling at my pants. No. like, that felt like one of those lines that was like... I didn't watch the commentary on this one, and Brock didn't have a note on it, but it felt like one of those lines that, like, if there was... Pray it was like a one and done. Like, no, I figured out how to write this one. It's like someone with a fever is yelling at my pants. Like, it's such a good line. And I think that's why I like them in the bathroom so much. Like, that's why, because every line they have is so fucking funny. Like the
do you dab?
I dab. Stop saying dab. I know he catches his pants on fire. Oh, you wailing on my junk? Just dab, dab.
Just pour water on it. No, that's what got us into this situation. It's incredible. And I think, again, we have another moment where Phantom Limb and Brock Sanson have another moment of where two really good but terrible in their own right men are confronting each other and trying to, you know, treat each other in their own ways. And they're that great interaction. And the final thing of them, like, challenging each other and then backing down, it was like, okay, let's shake on it. And that moment of, like, they're Brock reaching out his hand slowly and then Phantom Limbs, like, that moment going back between their faces, it was like, and they actually
way
shake
over
hands.
Dramatic, like, the way, way over dramatic music, the wah, wah. Like,
it's like, for a minute there, I thought you were going to do that crazy kill hand thing. It's like, yes, so did I. Fucking perfect. I love it. Phantom Limb is like, Phantom Limb is one of my favorites. He's just incredibly terrible.
I agree with you in the beginning, and then he kind of tapers off. And then he comes back around again, but...
Yeah.
Like,
he's got his ups and downs, yeah.
Yeah. You're not in season 7 yet, but when you do, he does have my favorite line so far of season 7. It is inspiring, like, a Halloween costume I'm going to be wearing, hopefully this year. It's so good.
I'm excited.
You should be.
To be as vague as possible, if it's a thing I think you're thinking about.
I'll say it involves bricks. That's all I'll say. It involves bricks and a costume that I'm buying from for Super Mario. That should help if you're into Season 7 at all. If you're not, like Graham, that made no sense. But yes, when he gets there, he will enjoy it.
I was thinking of the other one, like, during the negotiation. Where,
okay.
Yeah, he challenges shore leave.
Yep. That's also very good, but not as good as... I don't want to say his name, because it just makes me laugh. He's the best character ever.
Sphinx!
Okay, so, should we move into pop culture references on this one?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. I'll go first, because mine's the most obvious, I think. Like, they blatantly just talk about it, but because I've seen the movie, and the second he started talking about it, I started laughing. It's got to be Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. just the idea, because I never had that trick, because I knew it was a musical, because I was in musical theater when I was younger, so like I saw it as musical theater. But I knew so many people who had fallen for it. Like, oh, we can't watch that movie. It's about a whorehouse. It's like, oh, no, you'd be fine. Trust me. Nothing to worry about. and it was just...
Even Rusty's thing of like, oh, come on. She's about to get naked. Like, they can't sing the whole time.
They can. And they dance a lot. A lot of singing and dancing. Not a lot of whoring. But yeah, just the fact that Rusty can just be so stupid. It brings me joy. Every time. Yep. I feel like every one of my references, if I could tie it back to Rusty, I will. Because he's just so dumb. That's it for me, though.
Yeah. And we've already mentioned mine, which is the... Can you sing me a Technotronic song? Maybe... maybe I like to move it. And it's just... it's so incredible. Because we've all seen these moments of the ending of life. Can you just hold me? Can you just, whatever, sing me a song or whatever. But, like, can you sing me a song? Can you sing me a Technotronic song?
Yeah.
It's just so specific and so completely weird. But, maybe on my deathbed I'll request a Technotronic song. I don't know.
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, it's a good song. It's very catchy.
All right, Richard.
That's bad.
I have, I think, two sort of like half references. When they're recalling the story of what happened to Phantom Limb, that's kind of I saw it as sort of a reference to Rashomon, which is like this old Japanese movie about like...
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
That. Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
It's a movie
that's
I haven't
so cool.
seen, but it's a movie I've heard about that I'm getting around to seeing.
You should see it. It's really good.
You should see it. It's a really good movie.
I can't seem to find it. I guess I have to buy it. So that's a trek. The other one was they outright just say Hank looks like Freddy from Scooby-Doo.
I don't know how I forgot about that one. That was always my favorite one for a long time. That's such a good one. Okay. That one just that brought me joy. Just thinking about it. I think we should move into a quick round of plugs and say goodbye to this one. I know I would say, what do we all think? Do we recommend it? But obviously, I think we do. So yeah, we're just going to move right out of that. Yeah. Plugs this week. As always, listen to After the Hype, my other show. We have episodes on Tragedy Girls coming up, which I have not seen, but we have a guest coming on who requested it. And she said it is one of the best horror movies of like the last 10 years and supposedly a lot of fun. So I look forward to seeing that. And then because it's October, we're just going to keep the horror movie theme going. And we have Hereditary coming up, which I also Ooh. Haven't seen. But oh. I still haven't seen a trailer. I haven't seen anything. I know nothing about this movie other than some of the cast members. And I've been told that as a new parent, it's going to really kind of bother me at times. But
oh, shit. Yeah. didn't think about it in that context, but yes.
Yeah, I've been warned, so at least I know that going into it. And then from the ATH Network, please give our new show a chance. It is phenomenal, and it's called Samwise. You can find it in the After the Hype feed right now. It'll be breaking out to its own channel soon. But that is where our friend, Samantha Garrison, will answer any of life's difficult questions, and I mean any of life's difficult questions, by using the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the special features on the Blu-ray. And she does such a good job. Like, you have to hear it to believe it. Episode 1 is already out. I believe episode 2 is already out by this point as well. And seriously, like, she does such a great job. I don't want to spoil anything for you. You should just dive in. It's a great show. And then if you look online, we have the phone number you can call if you want to call in and ask questions, or you can just write to her at
sam.wise.ath.com.
So yeah, email to that email address. Perfect.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. that's it for plugs for me. Graham, you plug in anything these days?
I'll just say ditto to what Brian said. Yeah, listen to all those things. They're good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm on some of them. So.
Well, if you play less softball, you'd be on them more often.
Yeah. Maybe. But that's it. Other than that, I'm unpluggable. Or, yeah, I mean, if you want to come watch my wife and I play softball in Culver City.
Where is the softball taking place, out of curiosity?
It's in Culver City, California. So, yeah, check it out. Varying times on Saturdays. So, yeah.
I'll bust down like with a Greyhound and just like prowl the parks.
Do it.
For, like,
yeah, do it. Yeah. Yeah.
There's cool. Very few parks in all of Los Angeles. You're going to do fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a handful in Culver City alone. But yeah, it'll be great. If you see people playing softball, that might or might not be us. But either way, you'll be seeing a softball game, which is great.
Yeah. This is what everyone wants.
Yeah. Softball is a wonderful sport.
Richard, anything to plug?
I guess you could follow me on Instagram at Richard King Lee. I do art, and I'm trying to get into screenwriting, so, like, maybe hire me. I'm not the best, but, you know, working on it.
That's a hell of a plug right there.
That's a ringing endorsement for yourself.
I pride myself on proficiency and honesty.
Well, there you
hey,
go.
All right, there you go. That's something.
And since he's not here, I'll plug it for him. Be sure to pick up Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It is out now, and, you know, as Woo! We said in weeks before, pick it up, look at it, put it back down. Because yep. That's exactly what somebody who helped make the game told us to do. Pick it up, yep. Look at it, put it back down.
Yep. And then take a video of yourself doing that, and then tweet it at us.
Yeah. I'm so excited to actually play that game.
You're like, just going to have to keep waiting.
I know. Somebody's like going to have to. Cheating on my podcast. Like, no, I'm supposed to just put it back down.
Yep. I mean, somebody will have to, like, gift it to you and then, like, put it in your system for you.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not doing what I said I would do. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's a rough life.
It is.
Okay, so that's it for today's episode. We will see you next week with Love Bites. Bye.
Bye.